Soul podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
The Word of God is living and active. The Bible says in Hebrews that it's able to separate soul and spirit. When you're stressed, my soul may be angry. My soul may be depressed. My soul may have issues. And we will never run out of issues in our lives. That's why we need the Word, because the Word is the Spirit. And the Bible says the Word separates your emotions, your feelings, your whatever it is that's bothering you. When you get into the Word and you start meditating on that, says God, this is what God says, that I can have joy in the midst of what I feel. It changes everything. That's why the idea of meditating on the Word of God is so critical and so important to all of us. We began by talking about what God is doing. The last 2 weeks, we talked about how is it that it's only the beginning of the year, and we're finding fires in Australia since last year, a volcano, a massive volcano eruption in the Philippines, and now a global issue of a virus. Now it's gone global. And that's what we were talking about. What's God doing? And you know so well that with these three instances, the next thing that's going to happen is the economy is going to tank. That's for sure. And so we were asking ourselves the last 2 weeks, what does this all mean? And Hebrews 12:26 says, at that time, God's voice, shook the earth. And now, in other words, this thing about shaking never stops. In fact, it is a promise. It is a promise that we don't probably like, but it's a fact is that it is a promise that God will once more shake not only the heavens, but also the earth. In other words, shake only everything around us. He says that it will happen once more when there is a necessity to shake. The words once more indicate the shaking of what can be shaken, that is created things, the things around us, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. I want to give you a very quick teaching, lest you misunderstand me. When you hear viruses or volcanic eruptions or fires, not all of that is caused by God. Some of it is. The plagues in Egypt was caused by God. So you can't, man cannot cause a volcano to erupt. But not all of them are caused by God. Fires and viruses, they're not caused by God. But the sovereignty of God is, his preeminence is, he's going to use that. Whether it's caused by him or not caused by him, he's going to use that to shake what can be shaken so that what cannot be shaken will remain. The goal is to give you stability. And that's a promise. And over the course of the last week, we talked about the life of Joseph. The life of Joseph is a story of violent shakings, a number of shakings, in order to give him stability. We said that shaking can break you or can become your breakthrough, as in the case of Joseph. Our story continues in Genesis chapter 37, verse 3, where it says, "Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his sons." In short, if you're somebody loved by your father more than everybody else, you are the favorite. And that's who Joseph was. He was his father's favorite. And there was a reason for it, because he was a son in his old age. I remember my own father-in-law, who was a rather prominent lawyer, had a lot of connections, and I married his youngest daughter, his eighth child. And at some measure, I hope my other brother-in-laws are not listening, at some measure, I felt like I was his favorite. And because I was his kind of like the son in his old age, and he had seven daughters. Can you imagine? I'm one of the favorites now. And there's something about that happens to us when somebody gives you human favor. It's a good thing, but it also has its back drawbacks. Now it says he made him a robe of many colors. In other words, to indicate that he was actually the favorite, he made him this robe of many, many colors, these different kinds of robe. And I've been to Israel a number of times. And one time I went there and I understood the importance of these words right here, because it was expensive. In other words, his brothers were wearing T-shirts and ordinary shirts, but he was wearing a Hugo Boss jacket. Now, I don't know exactly what that looked like back then. But here's what happens when you rely on man's favor, as in the case of Joseph. It lulls us to rely on man's favor. It dumps us to not rely on God, but to rely on God, on people rather. Worse, it spoils us. It doesn't move us forward. It actually moves us backward. If not moves us backward, it keeps us in place to where we are. It causes us to be undeveloped or underdeveloped because we've relied now Our purposes, our destinies are now based on a man's favor, not on God's. And it limits us from fulfilling our destiny. These are the reasons why God had to shake him and shakes us every now and then. So it doesn't lull us to trust in the favor of men. It doesn't spoil us or cause us to be undeveloped or underdeveloped. It doesn't limit us from fulfilling our destiny. Now notice in the story in verse 4 it says, but when he saw his brother saw that their father loved him more than his brothers, they hated him. Okay, in other words, because his father favored him, now his brothers hate him. And these words could not speak peacefully to him. What that simply means is they don't like him. They don't want to have anything to do with him. If they could lose him, they'd rather he was gone. Verse 5 says, now Joseph had a dream. This is interesting here. God's response to this hatred is God gives him a dream. And I want to tell you something at this junction of this story. The only thing that would keep this man alive in the midst of his shakings was the dream that God gave him. When somebody gives you a dream, in fact, the dream that God gave this man was so huge that when he told it to his brothers, they hated him more. When he told it to his own father got intimidated by this whole dream. And that's what dreams can do for us. In the midst of a shaking, I hope you don't lose your dreams. Dreams are what makes us audacious. Kind of like this goldfish that's jumping out from his small world into really where God wants to take him. That's what a dream does. It creates its audacity. Let me explain audacity to you. This is important right here. In the midst of your shaking, it's the boldness to believe something big is about to happen. A lot of people, when shaking happens, they lose that ability to dream anymore. Audacity is the boldness to take initiatives. In other words, in the midst of, a lot of people get ahead that during the time of shaking, that's the time they actually take initiatives and move and position themselves. So when the time gets better, they're there. Boldness to take the risk is what audacity is. Not just to believe something, but to take initiatives and more than that, to take the risk. But here's the final thing about audacity. Boldness to know that you could fail. A lot of people don't believe, don't have the initiative, don't take the risk because they know so well that they could fail. But people who have a dream from God, have the boldness to believe something big, take the initiatives, take the risks, because and know that they can fail. Now, here's a question for you. Can you think of dreams you've lost during a time of shaking? I know I have. A lot of dreams that I let go because I thought the economy wasn't enough when I was a younger man. I'm 63 this year. And I know that through the years, I've lost a lot of dreams because I thought that they weren't going to happen. They weren't going to work in the midst of the situations that I was facing. Joseph had a dream. There was nothing wrong with his dream. The dream was good. The dream was from God. The dream actually happened. The problem was he kept talking about it. And there's a difference. Now, notice in verse 10, it says, when he told his father rebuked him, because the truth is, you may have a dream from God, and you may be audacious, you may have all of that, but you don't have to tell everybody. Because people may not understand the veracity and the dream that God's given you, and you need to be careful. There's a difference between audacity and arrogance. And sometimes when you're young, I'm speaking to young people now, when you're younger, you can be audacious, but at the same time arrogant. And God's not against audacity. He's against arrogance. And that's what happened here in the story of Joseph. Down in verse 23, when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe. This is his shaking. His first shaking in his life is they literally strip him. They remove the symbol of favor. Because God knows that this favor wasn't going to take him to his destiny. They removed it from him. Now, wisefully, they took them the robe of many colors, which is the symbol of his favor. In verse 26, it says, then Judah said to his brothers, what profit is it if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? In other words, let's not kill him. Let's just sell him, okay? Let's just sell him so we can make money. At the same time, we wouldn't be guilty of killing him. And then let our hand be upon him. He is our brother, our own flesh. So here's what they did. They took Joseph's robe, the symbol of favor. What's God going to do in our lives is remove the favor of man because he knows it is incapable of bringing us to where he wants to bring us. Not only did they remove it from him, they slaughtered it and put blood on it to make sure it never comes back. Because the favor of man, the desire for the favor of man, comes back very often. And then they sent the robe of many colors and brought it to their father and said, we found this thing, and please identify whether it is your son's robe or not. In other words, they created this ruse, this lie, to permanently sever the favor of man from Joseph. He identified and said, it is my son's robe, and a fierce animal has devoured him. Joseph, without doubt, has been torn to pieces. In other words, this connection to the favor of man is gone. Then Jacob tore his garments and put on sackcloth on his loins and mourned for his son many days. The darkness of Joseph being sold as a slave, from being the favorite to all of a sudden a slave, cannot be explained. I mean, I don't have the ability to even imagine the emotion and the darkness of that. And I know that some of you are going through a shaking. But to trust that sometimes God allows these shakings to set us up for our destinies, for the purpose that He has for us. Now Joseph, the Bible says in chapter 39, was brought down to Egypt. Now he's closer to destiny. And sometimes God stretches us and brings us to unfamiliar territory, because that's the only way you're going to be willing to learn. If He doesn't shake you, He doesn't bring you to unfamiliar territory, and you never get stretched and you never learn and you never develop. But God stretched Joseph and brought him down to Egypt. And now, literally, he is with Potiphar, an officer of the Pharaoh. He's now not 6 degrees away from his destiny. He's 1 degree away from his destiny. His father couldn't do that. Only God can. And God allowed it to set him up to the place where he would be stretched, he would be developed, and he will now be literally 1 degree closer to what God's dream was for him. Captain of the guard, it's interesting, not only was he put closely to the officer of Pharaoh, 1 degree there, he was the captain of the guard. He was now being trained how to become a governor. He's now learning military tactics and ideas which he could not have had he just stayed with Jacob. Whenever you sit in your comfort zone and insist on not going through the shaking of God, you literally cut your legs from underneath you. An Egyptian. In other words, somebody who's counterculture, somebody who doesn't think like you, act like you, dress like you, do life like you, and yet he was being stretched to understand there are different cultures in this world. And if you're going to be who you're supposed to be, you need to understand this. And he brought him to the Ishmaelites, and he bought him. He became a slave. Here's what's interesting. He's now about to see why God removes the favor of man, because he's going to replace it with the favor of God. The Lord was with Joseph. And notice what happens. He became a successful man. Think about this. I don't know if you can understand this. From darkness to slavery, no connections, no church, no pastor, no friends, no relatives. All of a sudden, you're successful in a foreign country. How does that happen? Because when you allow the shaking of God to happen in your life, He removes the favor of man and replaces it with His favor. That's where you want to be. And he was in the house of the Egyptian man. I don't know if you understand the significance of this. This guy is in the private quarters of this leader. He's hearing their visitors. They're having meetings, and he's serving them, and he's hearing all of these ideas, which he would never in his life ever get to, had not God shaken him and brought him to that place. Whenever you'd like to stay away from shaking, you're cutting your legs. You're losing. You're lulled into the favor of man. You're spoiled, and you'll never be who you're supposed to be. You will not develop. You will cause yourself to be undeveloped, and you will limit fulfilling your destiny. You see, the difference between man's favor and God's favor is, man's favor lulls us to rely on man's favor. God leads us to rely on God's favor. We're forced to trust Him. We don't have a choice. It spoils us. It stretches us. He stretches us to become who we're supposed to be. It causes us to be developed instead of undeveloped. And instead of being limited, He expands us into fulfilling our destiny. I have a question for you. Which one do you have a greater tendency for? Trusting in the relying on the favor of people? Is that your default? You always want to trust on what people can do for you, promote you, give you gifts? Or do you trust and rely on God's favor? Which one is it? And my prayer is that as the shaking of God is taking place in your life, that you will learn to default to trusting on God's favor and not man's favor. Chapter 39, verse 3 says, his master saw that the Lord will be. It's interesting, isn't it? When God's favor is on you, people will see. It's not just being religious. People will actually see there's a difference. And they might not like you. They might envy you, but they will see. And this master was wondering, what is this guy? I mean, because the Lord, that's the favor of God, caused that all he did to succeed in his hands. The things that you do, the timing, the way you do life becomes different. Verse 4, so Joseph found favor in his sight. Now, let me explain something to you. Removing the favor of man does not mean that you will not have favor from men. Removing the favor from man could actually mean you have favor from men. This is what this says. But it was not caused by your own abilities, your own talents, your own connections. It was caused by the favor of God to give you favor with men. And it says he attended him. When you attend to somebody, when you're mentored by somebody, one of my mentors is Steve Merle. He's the president of every nation. And when I left my world as a businessman and worked for Steve, he was one of my best friends in the world. I attended to the man. I wanted him to succeed. I wanted everything that he did to happen. I wanted to fix the things around him. I attended to him. And let me ask you that. Are you like that with people, your boss? This is an ungodly Egyptian, and yet he attended to him. He wanted to show him. He wanted to take care of him. Because when you attend to somebody, you know what he's going to do? He's going to make you the overseer of his house. He's going to trust you. He's going to see that you're loyal to him and not just trying to use him. And sometimes that's the reason why we never get to where we're going. It's because we're always after our own selfish ends and goals when God wants to stretch us and teach us how to be overseers of greater things. And by the way, if he cannot oversee a house, he's not going to oversee a nation or a world. Not going to happen. So God's testing him and seeing, would you be faithful to that which is other people's greatness and properties? Or would you just be faithful to what you want? And notice where it says when he became overseer, he put him in charge of all that he had. Wow. From slave to chief operating officer. That's what happens when you have the favor of God. He expands you to greater places that you've never even imagined because you've allowed the shaking to happen. Verse 5 says, from that time on, he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had. Let's just imagine the magnitude of this. In fact, the magnitude was so huge that the Bible says, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. In other words, God just kept blessed. Notice, sometimes God blessed the Egyptian's house, not Joseph, for his sake, but who got blessed? The guy who he was working for. Are you like that for the people you're working for? Or are you the guy who's murmuring at the back and saying, you know, I'm the guy that slaves it over here and work so hard here. I'm the guy. And gossiping against your boss won't get you anywhere, by the way. It's very possible that God's testing you and putting you in the place of understanding how this works. Notice where it says the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had. Not Joseph's, but on the field of this man. Powerful, isn't it? Do you think this way? When the shaking comes, that you want to be a blessing to your employer, to your boss, to your neighbors, to your friends? Or are you just in fear, wondering what's going to happen to me? And never maximize the learning of the shaking. Verse 6 says, so he left all that he had in Joseph's charge. Now he's in charge. Now he knows this is what it feels like to drive a car. And because of him, he had no concern about anything but the. Think about this. Here's one of your goals. This should be your goal in your life. If you're going to be working for somebody, if you're going to have a boss, make sure your boss has no concern about anything except where we're going to have lunch today. That's a powerful thought, isn't it? When you work for somebody and that guy is never going to think, worry about this again, because on my watch, all he has to think about is where to eat. Make that your goal, and you're going to be a governor one day. Are there ways you can bless others and see them prosper for them to see the favor of God in your life? Are there stuff like that? Are there opportunities for you to be a blessing so that people can see how God is with you. Now notice that there are two choices here. Which is which for you? Man's favor, God's favor. Spoiled, stretched. Undeveloped, underdeveloped, developed and mature. Limited destiny, destiny fulfilled. This is what it means. And I want to just close with this thought. This is what meditating on the Word is. When you meditate on the Word day and night, when you know these stories, I remember the story of Joseph came to me in the year 2001 in this particular preaching. I actually wrote a book about it. And when you understand that, that story and how God moves in your life, when you meditate on that, you grow. And my prayer as we close this, Lord, I just pray for the people listening here to embrace your shaking, to know that this is your way of bringing us to the next level, to bringing us to our breakthroughs, to trust not in the favor of men, but in the favor of God.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.